Dog days are here, whatever the heck that means. I think that means a time of summer when the real road dogs get out there and ride. You know that cooler days are ahead, but you continue to pound that hot pavement so that one day you'll be the next Dave Willett, Million Mile Man, or C.W. Smith, Hokahay Road Dog, or Ned Eldridge and Dewey Von Cannon, Road Pals for Life. I name these guys because they've all recently been guests on our show, and they are fine examples of what motorcycles are all about. Motorcycle ambassadors, if you will. So I take this opportunity to salute all you road dogs out there and welcome you to another episode of the Iron Horse Motorcycle Road Show. Today on the show, we're going to be talking with that recently famous Tamala Rich, who just crossed the land we call America. You may have seen her in the paper. Maybe you saw her on the highway. Well, today, she's with us via telephono. Mike's got some safety tips for you that you'll want to hear. We're going to talk a little bit about the Dragon's Tail. Listen up for the trivia. Lauren's got the latest events calendar, and we're going to call Lauren the cat lady from now on.
Meow.
Grab a seat and relax. We'll be right back. I think Tamala Rich is on line one. She's fixing to put her through to us. Tamala, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you today?
All right. I'm fine, thank you. This is Stan.
This is Stan, and I got Mike here, and I got my daughter, Lauren.
I am looking at a picture of you right now in the Charlotte Observer, Monday, August 9th, 2010, Section B, local and state, and you're on your motorcycle with your helmet, with a yellow shirt, waving to the crowd, with a Caribou Coffee sign behind you. And what is that on the headlight? It's pink with polka dots.
That is a pink bra.
Oh, well, I couldn't see all of it. I
won't say who, but somebody at the shop said, "Whose bra was that?" I said, I don't know.
Well, I was raising money for breast cancer, and so when I left Charlotte, I didn't have it on there. I just, you know, have those little pink ribbons on the side of my bike because I wanted to do something to decorate the bike for my cause. And then when I got to Cheyenne, all these other riders had pink bras strapped on the front of their bikes, and they were saying how, you know, people would stop and want to talk about breast cancer and how it had touched their families and how it had helped them, you know, raise money for the cause. And so I said, well, I've got to get a pink bra on the front of my bike.
Yeah, so you did, and it looks good, too.
Well, Tamala, before we get started, you're a very personable lady. I'd like for you to take this opportunity to say hello to the finest bikers in the world, and that's our bikers here in Union County.
Hi, finest bikers in the world.
And that's from Tamala Rich. Tamala, you're at the beach now, aren't you?
I am.
It's pretty hard life down there, isn't it?
Yeah, we had a big thunderstorm this afternoon, so we had to entertain ourselves indoors this afternoon.
Yeah, you know, I can tell from your the way you talk and your demeanor, you're just a very, very likable person, not unlike most of the people we interview here. It seems like motorcycle people are some of the nicest people in the world.
I have to agree. It's funny because so many people who aren't, you know, riders, they're not in the community, they look at, you know, it's like judging, you know, a book by its cover. They'll look at people and think, ooh, that person might be scary, whatever. And, you know, I did 20 states, about 75% of it was by myself, and nobody ever made me feel frightened or wary or anything. Everyone was just super nice, and if I needed any help, anybody would help me. I mean, it was like God sent all these angels in my path. Everybody was great.
Well, tell our audience tell them where you went this summer, where you started, where you ended up.
Well, I started in Charlotte, and I made my way up Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Idaho, Oregon, and that was my farthest west point. And then I came back Idaho, then I dipped into Utah, back over across Wyoming to Colorado. And then I did the funny little five-minute jaunt from the edge of Colorado over to Nebraska, down to Kansas, you know, three states in 5 minutes. And then I traveled across Kansas, over to Missouri, then back along the southern part of Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, and then dipped into South Carolina and on home.
Total of how many states?
20.
Wow.
You know, it just occurred to me, I was out there in Colorado, Wyoming, and South Dakota, almost the same day, days that you were there. So we probably passed you on the road somewhere.
We probably did. We probably gave each other the biker's wave.
Mike, you'd probably remember if you saw a pink bra coming down the road on a BMW.
Stan, I was thinking the same thing, but I didn't really look for bras on the front of the headlights, but I'm sure.
Well, I didn't actually get the bra until I was in Cheyenne, because that's where I met up with all the other riders from Conga. And this is the third year that the Conga fundraiser has run. And so it wasn't until, we all got together there that I saw, the decorations and heard the stories. And so I wouldn't have seen you with it in South Dakota at the time. You would have had to just
You would have probably seen me. You would have probably seen me, because after we got the ticket in Illinois, we slowed down a lot.
Ooh, yeah. Otherwise, you would have been going too fast.
They said we were, but I think it was entrapment.
I did have one exchange with the law, and that was in Wyoming. Oddly enough, because I was going miles and miles and miles without seeing anybody, and it was starting to mist, and I was tired, and I needed to get to Cheyenne, and so I did start going fast. But this sheriff, he followed me for a long time. I couldn't quite tell if it was a law officer or whatever. He followed me for a long time. And then when I finally just got impatient and laid the throttle open and started going, he pulled me over. And he was really angry with me because he said, this is open grazing. I don't want to take you out of here in a body bag. I mean, everything he said was right. I was going too fast, and this is what happens when you get sick and tired of where you are and you want to get to your destination. And He was right in everything he said. But that was my only interface. And he did not give me a ticket. I was worried that he was going to haul me into the pokey. But he said he was on a case and he didn't have time, and he let me go with a strong tongue lashing.
Mike, not only is she personable, she's politically correct.
There's no doubt. I think what it is, he saw that pink polka dotted bra on her headlight, and he said, there ain't no way I'm going to give this young lady.
He wanted a closer look.
That's what it was.
Tamma, what made you decide to take this trip?
Well, my brother and dad last summer, they wanted to do some father-son bonding, and they decided that they wanted to do something that neither one of them knew really much about so that they could learn together. And so they decided to take up motorcycling. And so they got bikes and went across, the great national parks of the West. And, every day they'd send these great videos or snapshots or whatever from, what they had been doing that day. And I just thought, oh man, someday I'd really like to do that. And then the opportunity just came. I was working on a book, and my co-author lives in Oregon. And so we were talking about the need to get face-to-face and, get some work done in person instead of just doing everything online. And it was one of those moments where my gut spoke before my head filtered it. And I said, what I'd really like to do is I'd really like to ride a motorcycle from here to Oregon. And he said, well, then you should. And before I got home, he had PayPal'd me enough money to take my MSF course, and I was on my way. And so I always say to people now that I've had this great experience, I always say to people, if you have a dream, open your mouth and tell somebody. Take the first step, and you'll be amazed at how minor and major miracles can happen in your life and bring it to fruition. That's what happened in mine.
When did you take the MSF course?
I finished it on March 21st.
Of
I
this?
Took it at CPCC right there at the Matthews campus.
I bet Ron taught you.
Ron Rutherfordton. I said that
no,
right.
No, it was taught by Sheila. I think her last name is Burns.
Oh, yeah, she's Sheila too.
And the other guy's name, I think, was Bob. Not Ron. Yeah. No, uh-uh.
Yeah, they're all good up there, though.
You feel like that class
course,
was beneficial.
And they were great and patient and fun, and, it was a great intro to the world of motorcycling. They were great.
Let me get this right. You took the motorcycle course in March of this year.
Mm-hmm.
You got a motorcycle, and you decided you were going to ride to the West Coast, something that probably just about 1/10 of 1% of the motorcyclists get a chance to do. And right. You're telling me that you hadn't ridden a motorcycle much at all before that?
Never, no. I had, you know, I had an old boyfriend when I was 18 who rode motorcycles, and I rode behind, and my brother took me for a spin on his once, but I'd never had my hand on the throttle till I took my MSF course.
You're my hero.
Well, don't give me too much credit. Actually, a lot of people, I had a lot of training. I did a whole lot more than just doing the MSF course. Otherwise, I would have been, frankly, foolhardy. I would not recommend to anyone that they take their MSF course and fire up a bike and go. I had a lot of training. My brother spent a lot of time with me on his bike before I got one, and I took a course from Motomark. You guys might know him.
Mark Brown.
He's a highway patrol officer, and he taught a precision maneuvering class that I took up near Raleigh. And then I had 2 days of one-on-one training at the BMW Performance Center in Spartanburg, and that was that training, all those trainings I just described, everything was essential to my success. And also, I had the opportunity through my relationship with the other Conga riders for breast cancer, I had an opportunity for 6 of those states to ride with really good riders. And as you all know, if you ride right behind a great rider, you will learn a lot. And so I was very fortunate as a novice rider to have had all that front-loaded training, as well as having people that were really good riders who let me ride in the cradle instead of putting me up front or putting me at sleeper. They let me ride right in the cradle there and learn from their expertise.
Well, tell us about your motorcycle, the actual unit you took out.
I have a G650 GS. It's a dual-sport BMW. And one of the things that was difficult for me when I first started putting all the pieces of this together was finding a bike, because I have a bad back, and any kind of bike that puts my feet out in front is just too hard on my back. I can't take it. So cruisers were definitely out. There are a lot of other bikes that, you know, I couldn't consider. And but the dual sports, you know, your center of gravity is right there. You're not on your tailbone, you're on your sits bones, and your feet are right under you. And I found that was very helpful to me, because whenever I would go slow, like, you know, in a traffic jam or going through little cities or whatever, whenever I got down to 45 miles an hour or less, I stood, and that gave me a lot of relief. And you can't stand on a lot of bikes, but this one is made for both, you know, dirt and street. And it was the perfect bike for me. I'm just delighted.
And did you have your music with you or any kind of communication system?
No, I have a smartphone. I didn't want to have any distractions riding. I was really cautious about that. And so it wasn't until I was coming back from Oregon that I first put the iPod buds in my ear. But before that, no, I was too cautious to do anything distracting.
You know, it just occurred to me, we're sitting here talking to a young lady who rode a motorcycle all the way across the United States. 20 years ago, you could hardly find a woman that even rode a motorcycle. And I noticed this year at Sturgis, about 20% of the motorcyclists I saw were female riders. So
that puts her right up there with Amelia Earhart, doesn't it?
I think it is close to Amelia Earhart.
Wow. What an adventure. Tell us what your most memorable moment was on the trip, Tamala.
It's hard, because I saw so many beautiful sights, and I went to some really fun places. But I will tell you this. There are a lot of places that I expected to be beautiful. So I went up Spearfish Canyon, and I knew that was going to be beautiful. I rode the Needles Highway. I knew it was going to be terrific. I mean, I took in all these great places that I knew were going to be beautiful, and then they took my breath away. The place that I want to tell you about that surprised me was, I never heard about it before, but it's right between Idaho and Oregon, along the Malheur River. And it's right in the area of Ontario, which is right on the border of Oregon and Idaho. And I was just going along. It was high desert, nothing to look at, nothing to really think about. And all of a sudden, I'm not kidding, all of a sudden, I turned a corner, and before me was this gorgeous series of sweeps, like half a mile sweeps, right and left. And I thought it was a river on either side of the road, but I went on the internet and looked, and it was actually a series of irrigation tributaries and all that had been man-made. But, you know, you're sweeping through these grand valleys, and there are these gorgeous, you know, cliffs above you and water on either side, and it was unexpected and gorgeous. And it was so funny because when I was coming back from Oregon, I had to go through that same patch, so I knew it was there. And I mentioned that I had put my iPod on when I came, you know, when I was coming east. And it was so funny because when I hit that gorgeous piece of real estate, the my iPod tripped over to the Chariots of Fire soundtrack. So it was the perfect accompaniment of visual beauty and music that really suited the day. I loved it.
I think Mike, he looks a little confused. I think you have named uncharted territories for him. He can't place where you're talking about, and he's probably been right through there.
Do you remember the name of the highway?
Come from the border of Oregon and Idaho, where Ontario is. You go through the southern Blue Mountains of southern Grant County, and it's on the way to Burns. Burns is the first town of any substance for about 150 miles, and it's all desert before Burns.
I'm going to look it up on my map when I get back. You've got me confused now. I thought I'd been on every road up there.
It's the Malheur River, and you spell it Malheur. River, and it's just gorgeous. Easy riding, grand sweeps, you know, like I said, just what looks like a river on both sides of the road. It's just gorgeous.
I'm going to ask you, Tamalyn, this was an adventure for you this summer. Has this opened the door to a new lifestyle for Tamala Rich? Is this something you're going to continue to be doing?
Definitely. I'm going to ride with the Conga riders next year for sure. And I'm actually going to spend some time over the next 10, 11 months trying to get more women to ride. I mean, we're happy for men to go, too. More women to ride in the Conga and raise money for breast cancer. It's, you know, the way the Conga works is you can ride, you know, a day, a weekend, you know, however long, and accompany someone who's going to go all the way to the meetup in Wyoming. And it was a great time for me to meet female riders. As you say, there aren't as many, you know, women riders as there are men. But because of my affiliation with the Conga Ride for breast cancer, I rode with mostly women. And I think a lot of women would enjoy meeting these other people from different states and seeing these gorgeous places. So I really want to spend some time advocating this ride for women, and I hope to take a big group at least part of the way next year when I ride.
What would you say to the mother who's maybe listening to this show today, and she's got a couple of kids in the house she's trying to get raised, and dishes to wash, and clothes to clean, and a house to clean, and she's hearing this, and she's thinking, what an adventure. What would you say to her?
Do it.
Well, you know, my kids are 18 and 21, and honestly, I couldn't have done it when they were underfoot.
So you had a kid when you were nine?
You know, but that doesn't mean I couldn't have started learning how to ride a motorcycle when my kids were little. You know, I talked a lot of, as I said, to people across the country who motorcycle, and I heard stories about how families, you know, came together by having a mutual sport or a mutual interest. And a lot of times I think mothers particularly, we tend to be sort of sacrificing for our families. And I think a lot of times parents will buy a little motorbike for their child and pour all their energy in, you know, into teaching them how to ride and taking them to motocross or whatever they want to do. And I think that there's an opportunity for families to do something together that doesn't necessarily only put the children on the seat. I think an opportunity for families to learn to ride together, to repair bikes together, et cetera. From what I heard on the road, that seems like a really good bonding experience for a lot of families. And maybe if you learn to ride when your kids are little, take some weekend excursions, take the kids camping, et cetera, you know, when you get to a point that you can take a week or longer and ride cross country, you'll be ready for it.
This is something Mike has seen at Iron Horse Motorcycles when families would come in and they took an interest to motorcycling. And you just, there's something for everybody, right, Mike?
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about now. It, you know, I see especially with maybe a small dirt bike, they'll get your child a dirt bike for Christmas. The next thing you know, the wife jumps on it and she rides and she wants a dirt bike. And then the husband gets one, and, you know, and it's a family thing. And they can go out, you know, they can have never how many kids they want and they can take it out. And it's a bonding thing. You can go out on the weekend, you know, go to some of the riding areas. And, you know, we see it more and more. And, you know, these people, you know, they not only bond within the family, but, you know, the people like you were talking about, the people you meet is really what makes it worthwhile. You know, where
definitely.
It's
I mean, biking's wonderful, and seeing, you know, God's green earth is you know, just a privilege. But there is something about the community that makes it. Makes it an even better experience.
We had Dave Willard on a couple of weeks ago, and that's one thing that he brought out. He's ridden over, 1.8 million miles on a motorcycle.
Wow.
And that's one thing. Was it 10 million?
Yeah,
well, he's calling him the million-mile man. He don't have any millions. He's gone. But he said, you know what, really is not the motorcycle riding? He said, yeah, I enjoy riding a motorcycle. That's pretty obvious. He said, but what makes it worthwhile is when you stop, the curiosity of the people, you know, stop in a small town, meet the people in the town, and they're so receptive to motorcycles now. And he said, that's really what hit the best part of motorcycling is, meeting these people and then going back and visiting them later.
Would you say, Tamala, that you had enough time to do that on this trip? Were you able to pace yourself to where you can meet people and talk to them and learn a little something about them, or were you rushed to do
this? No, definitely. I did. My average day, I wasn't on the road every day. I did have some stops and some layovers. I'm self-employed, and I had to take care of clients and, you know, other things. But my average day was anywhere between 250 and 350 miles. I think my longest day was about 490. My longest mileage day was about 490. So an iron butt is not in my future. But you know, having that pink bra on the front of my bike, people approached me. They wanted to talk to me about their wife, their mother, their sister, and you know, it wasn't just bikers that I met. It was all kinds of people because of that pink bra. They knew I was raising money for breast cancer. And then, of course, the Conga riders. You know, I met four women in Cheyenne who took me under their arm and invited me. They were from Idaho. They invited me on their vacation. I changed my itinerary so I could spend 4 days with them in beautiful Idaho. I'm telling you, the riding in Idaho is unparalleled.
It's
I loved it.
It's beautiful.
Now, tell us about your husband. Does he ride also?
He does not. He is very athletic. He would probably like to ride a bicycle across country. But now that I've been talking and sharing my stories, it's funny, we're at the beach, and he went to the bookstore today and brought home a motorcycling magazine. So stay tuned.
Maybe he'll ride with you next year.
Maybe he will.
Maybe if he would come to Iron Horse, maybe we could get him on a motorcycle.
I bet you could.
We give free lessons.
Yes, sir. We'd certainly try. And again, let's talk a little bit about your calls in all this and the charity, how our listeners can make any donations to the foundation that you're raising money for.
Thank you so much. You can go to my website, which is roadtrip.tamalarich.com. And my name is spelled with a T, TamalaRich.com. And there's a little PayPal button that you can give. And I make up the difference between what someone gives and what PayPal takes out for their little service fee. So if you click that button, whatever you give, 100% of it goes to the National Breast Cancer Foundation.
Okay. All right. Will you do this again, Tamala?
Yeah, I'll be doing this again next year. Hopefully with a lot more charlatans and Monroe Union County folks.
So you feel like this will be an annual event, or just as long as
the Conga runs every year, and it's my intention to be a part of it every year from here on out.
And what kind of following have you created from your family and friends now that you've done this? You said your brother and your dad bought bikes and traveled, so what do they think about your adventure?
You know, they were very cautious. You know, because they knew what I was up against. And, you know, they were, you know, they didn't really think it was a great idea for me to do without, you know, having had a lot of time on the road and because I was going to be traveling a lot by myself. But, you know, with those concerns, it caused them to give me a lot of good tips and preparation and all that kind of stuff. And I took everything that they said to heart. And fortunately, I found riders. You know, I think that's just one of those major / minor miracles that happened, you know, in my life, that I'm, you know, on the front end of my trip where I needed it the most, when I was most inexperienced, is where I had most of my riders, most of my co-riders. So I was very fortunate.
Well, now, you mentioned on the Iron Horse Motorcycle Roadshow, we like to take every opportunity to promote people's goals in life. You mentioned a book earlier. Is there a book that you're putting together that you want the audience to know about?
I haven't finished writing it yet. So if folks will actually go to my fan page on Facebook, mm-hmm. It's TamalaRich.author. That's my fan page. They can follow, you know, everything I've got to say about, you know, my trip. I'm still, you know, uploading videos on it, etc. And I'll be talking there about the book. And so as the book unfolds, people, you know, can sort of watch it unfold and talk to me about the book. It's called Trade-Offs, Leveraging the Longs and Shorts of Life. And what I'll be talking about is making big decisions in your life. Every decision involves a trade-off, right? And so the folks that I met on this trip were not only raising money for breast cancer, a lot of them were battling different illnesses, different cancers, etc. And so I had the great fortune of listening to them talk about making a trade-off of quality of life for quantity of life. For example, one of the riders decided to sign out against medical advice. She'd had 3 rounds of chemo. They weren't working, and she wanted to take a summer and ride the United States. She's a motorcyclist. She rode in the Conga. And she said, you know, I didn't want to just stay in a hospital bed hooked up to a drip line wasting away when I could be out enjoying my life. I mean, that's a trade-off, right? Yeah. So I'll be talking, you know, in the book about life's trade-offs and how different people have made them, and I'm hopeful that people on Facebook or on my website that I just mentioned will ask questions or give anecdotes. You know, here's a story I'd like you to include in your book, etc. That's my hope.
You know, we try each week to bring people news about motorcycling and people who ride motorcycles. And it's kind of ironic that you're telling this story about this cross-country trip. This morning on Good Morning America, there's going to be a show, I think, tonight on what love is about. And it shows a couple that to discover if they're still in love and they really want to be married, what do? They got on a motorcycle and they traveled across the country. A motorcycle is such a tool to bring people to that awareness.
True.
You've made this trip.
If you can
trip.
Travel with someone across the country and come out of it feeling better about them, they're a keeper.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
And you made this trip across America. If you had made it, and I've asked this question several times, if you had made this in a minivan, would you have enjoyed it to the
I would not have done this trip in a minivan. There is no way. I mean, that's what there's airplanes for. If I wanted to go from here to Oregon, and I wasn't going to do it on a motorcycle, I would have flown. There is no way I'd have done this in a minivan.
Now, at any point, did you need to have loaded on your iPod the phrase, "When will we be there, Mama"?
Never.
You've ever heard that before?
I enjoyed every minute of it. I even enjoyed Kansas. Everyone complains about Kansas. I got off. Now, as most motorcyclists do, you know, we don't like the interstates. And I took the northern route, which was 3 routes in one. It was the Pony Express route, it was the Oregon Trail, and the California Trail. And I had a great time going through Kansas. I never once thought, oh, this is dull and boring. I went through a lot of little towns, and Kansas is really good about setting up educational stops along the way. I stopped at the Geographical Center of the United States in Lebanon, snapped a picture there. This is fun. I went to the Gallery of Presidential Also-Rans in Norton, Kansas. So every time there's a presidential election, the person who doesn't win gets their photo mounted there, et cetera. And I went and talked to the curator. She was terrific. I went to the Wild West Prison Frontier Museum in Rawlings, Wyoming, and the Corn Palace in South Dakota. I had a great time stopping at all these little kitschy Americana places. I loved it.
It sounds...
I think you hit it the best by saying stay off the interstates, because on the interstates, Kansas is a very boring place, as a lot of states out west are, especially in the Midwest. But if you get off of those and get on the two-lane roads, you get to meet real people. You get to see real sights and sounds. And, you know, there's really nothing boring about it. I've heard years and years the same thing that you've said, and I think we've crossed the United States, 20 times now on a motorcycle. And if you do it on interstate, you really don't get to see anything. You get off on these two-lane roads, you stop in these small towns. If it's nothing but just stopping for gas, and it's amazing the people you will meet and the friends you will meet along the way.
So true, so true. I stopped in a little town in Kansas, and they were preparing for a rodeo that coming weekend, and the whole town was just buzzing. Everybody was excited because, you know, the rodeo was coming to town, and, I had breakfast at a little cafe, and everyone was talking about it. And it's funny because a woman there, she said, "You're not from around here. Where, you know, can I ask you what you're doing?" And because she saw my bike, you know, she saw I had that pink bra on my bike, and I told her that I was riding across country and raising money for breast cancer. And her eyes welled up, and she told me that she said, "You know," she said, "this past year I've lost 3 of my best friends to breast cancer." She said, "And I've always wanted to do something for them." And I gave her my card, and I said, "I'm going to see you next year on the Conga." And she said, "Yeah, I'm going to learn to ride a motorcycle. I'm going to see you next year."
What you're trying to tell me is that bra broke a lot of ice.
It did. It was the friendliest bike on the freeway.
Tell us about Caribou Coffee. When you got back to Charlotte, what was that all about?
Well, Caribou was a great sponsor for me. They gave me a really nice send-off party. We called it Kickstands Up. The district manager, Jason Drake, is a motorcyclist, an accomplished motorcyclist. He's got a couple of iron butts under him and would love nothing more than to live his life on a motorcycle. So he gave me a great send-off. He gave me some gift certificates, you know, those little cards, those preloaded cards. He gave me cards so that I could do my interviews for the book in Caribou cafes across the country. And gave me a great welcome home party. And they also sold some t-shirts and donated the proceeds to breast cancer. So, they were a great sponsor for me. I was very fortunate. My other sponsor was, the Performance Center down in Spartanburg with BMW.
Well, it sounds like you had a lot of good people behind you, and I'm sure it made your trip, easier. And, it's just an amazing story. We could probably sit here and talk to you the whole hour, I know, but you're at the beach, and we don't want to take all your beach time.
Oh, yeah, this is great. I love talking about motorcycling and traveling and everything, but I suspect you've got 2 or 3 other things to talk about yourself.
Well, Mike, anything else for before we let her go?
I'm just glad to be talking to her and see that I can just sense, and I think everybody else can too, the listeners can just sense the excitement that she got out of this trip. I mean, she just touched on a very minute part of what she saw. I mean, if she could come back and tell you everything she saw, we'd be talking for days and weeks. Because it's the trip that she took, I've been on that every, I think almost every road she's been on, and it's, you can't describe it, the beauty out, especially out in the West, in the Rockies.
That's true.
Is just
incredible. And I had great adventures and met great folks, and we can continue this on Facebook. I upload my videos, and I check it every day, and I'd love to, if you guys or anybody else who wants to talk, I'd love to continue the conversation. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, Tamla, several of the people there at Iron Horse already know who you are. They asked me who was going to be on the show today, and I told them, "Oh, I know her. I've seen her. I've talked to her." So you're somewhat
the guys at Iron Horse are great. I was with a friend of mine when I was bike shopping, and she bought a bike there. And so we go back there from time to time. Actually, I bought my motorcycle pants at Iron Horse.
Well, good. Who was your friend?
I go back with my friend from time to time, and you're right. Everybody there is so friendly, and I feel like I'm part of the family.
Now tell us who your friend is that bought a bike.
She did. She bought a bike.
And who was she?
Oh, Karishma Henderson. Kay Henderson. She bought a V. What's another? There's all these V. Hold on. VMAX. She bought a VMAX there.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember her. That's a fast motorcycle, too.
Yes, it is.
Very fast.
And she rode with me on the first day. I had a bunch of charlatans who rode out with me, including Kay. So they rode out with me on the first day, and then they met me in Asheville and rode in with me on the last day.
Wonderful.
Well, come by Iron Horse Motorcycles and grab a cup of coffee and just sit and talk with us. We'd love to see you in person.
I promise. They all know
who you are. And we so much appreciate you coming on the show. You're a very exciting person to talk to. Call us anytime you've got something going on and let us know, okay?
Thank you so much. I will do that.
Go to Calabash and eat some seafood from me, okay?
All right. Bye now.
See you,
Tamla. Thank you, Tamla.
Bye-bye.